Amen. Thank you for the music. I'm continuing a series of sermons on why. And I've thought for the last 2 weeks that was the last. And then God speaks to me about another topic, and I hope he'll continue to do so. But today I want to speak to you on this subject, why God whispers. Why God whispers. I read God's word, and I read of encounters that others, humans, have had with his booming voice, and it makes me jealous. I really would like to hear the loud voice of God. I realize that it would probably stop me dead in my tracks, but I just long to hear it. I often wonder what the voice of God sounds like. I imagine it's a very, very deep, bassy kind of a voice. Don't know that. Some of you all might disagree with that completely. But I long to hear it. Abraham got to hear it when he was being tested with Isaac in Genesis chapter 22, verse 1. Now it came to pass after these things that God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham! Exclamation point. I like that. Abraham! He wanted to get his attention. And Abraham said, here I am, Mike. I guess when you heard the booming voice of God, that's probably the only proper response. Here I am. I can't hide. There's nowhere to go. Moses heard the booming voice of God in Exodus chapter 3, verse 4. When the Lord saw that Moses turned aside to look at the burning bush, he called him from the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, here I am. Here I am. What a humbling experience that must have been. I long to hear it, and I never have heard the voice of God audibly. I've read of some who say they have, but I've had a great deal of experience hearing the voice of God at the other extreme. And at times, that's been very frustrating. Maybe God speaks to my heart about a direction for the church or a direction for our lives, direction for the ministry, that seems to be a little out of kilter to my plan. And so I say, no, wait a minute, God. I need some kind of a confirmation here. How about send me a telegram or do something? Let that booming voice be heard so that I can know for certain I'm dealing with God. And that never has happened yet. God most often whispers. He whispered to Elijah in a very famous story. And Elijah was changed by that whisper. You know the story. Elijah, the great prophet of God, called of God to represent God to the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel now experiencing one of their stages of backsliding and worshiping the Baals, the god of Baal, which is a Canaanite god of fertility and of life. And they believed he brought rain and all different kinds of things, probably a descendant or probably a derivative of the Beelzebub, but don't know that for sure. But God finally said, I've had enough of these people. So Elijah, here's the deal. I want you to go and call for a showdown with the prophets of Baal. I want you to go to see King Ahab and just say, here's the deal. God's had enough. So we're going to have a big showdown. So I want to have a standoff between the prophets of Baal and Jehovah God. And we're both going to build altars and offer a sacrifice there. And the God who sends fire from heaven to consume the sacrifice, he is God. Well, everybody said, well, that's a great idea. I like the idea. So they did just that. They went and built two altars. But Elijah, being the gentleman he was, said, yes, I want you guys to go first. So these prophets of Baal, at least 350 of them, maybe as many as 800, we don't know for sure, set about to prepare their sacrifice, laid it on the altar, and then they began to cry out to Baal. And they shouted and screamed and did all they could to get his attention. Elijah, being the meek and mild servant of God that he was, began to taunt them and said, hey guys, maybe he's sleeping. You better cry louder. So they cried louder still. Nothing happened. Then they began to cut themselves. I suspect their cries got to be pretty serious at that point. And so they're inflicting pain upon themselves, trying to impress their god Baal, and nothing happens. This went on for hours. And when it was obvious that Baal wasn't going to respond, Elijah said, okay, it's my turn now. But I really don't believe this is a big enough challenge for my God. So would you find some water pots and go fill them up and let's put some water on this sacrifice. So they did it three times. They went with water pots and came back and soaked the sacrifice, soaked the altar, soaked the wood, soaked the stones, even soaked the ground. Water was standing around that little altar. And then Elijah prayed and said, God, do your thing. And fire fell and consume the sacrifice and consume the wood and consume the water and messed up the altar. And it was obvious to everyone that Jehovah God is God. And then under the leadership of God's Holy Spirit, Elijah personally saw to the death of all those prophets of Baal. Now the prophets of Baal were kind of the right-hand men of Queen Jezebel, who was the lovely wife of King Ahab. And Jezebel is a wicked, wicked person. So she sends word to Elijah, I'm going to make you just like one of those dead prophets by this time tomorrow. And the mighty man of God, Elijah, got scared and ran. That's one of those mind-boggling stories in Scripture. Here's the man who just withstood the prophets of Baal, just saw his God send fire from heaven to consume the sacrifice. He knew his God is God. He knew God sent him. He knew there was nothing to fear, and yet he's traumatized, and so now he runs and hides. And that's where the Scripture picks up today. I want to read for you in the book of 1 Kings. 1 Kings, that's Old Testament. Back toward the front half of the book of the Old Testament. If you're over there in the Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, kind of root, you're not far enough. If you're over there in Chronicles, if you're over there into the Jeremiah and Isaiah, you're too far. Go back to 1 Kings chapter 19. 1 Kings 19, I'll begin reading for you at verse 9. I'll read through verse 18. I'd ask you to stand if you're able to do so to honor the reading of God's precious word. 1 Kings 19, if you're there, say amen. That's pretty good. Verse 9, Elijah went into a cave and spent the night there. And behold, the word of the Lord came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? So he said, I've been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts. For the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek my life as well. Then he said, go out and stand on the mountain before the Lord. And behold, the Lord passed by. And a great and strong wind tore into the mountains and broke the rock in pieces before the Lord. But the Lord wasn't in the wind. And after the wind, an earthquake. But the Lord wasn't in the earthquake. And after the earthquake, a fire. But the Lord wasn't in the fire. And after the fire, a still small voice, a whisper. So when Elijah heard it, he wrapped his face in his mantle, went out and stood in the entrance of the cave, and suddenly a voice came to him and said, what are you doing here, Elijah? He said, I've been very zealous for the Lord God of hosts because the children of Israel have forsaken your covenant, torn down your altars, and killed your prophets with the sword. I alone am left, and they seek to take my life. And the Lord said to him, go, return on your way to the wilderness of Damascus. When you arrive, anoint Hazael as king over Syria. And you shall also anoint Jehu, the son of Nimshi, as king over Israel. And Elisha, the son of Shaphat, of Abel-Meholah, you should anoint as prophet in your place. And it shall be that whoever escapes the sword of Hazael, Jehu will kill. And whoever escapes the sword of Jehu, Elisha will kill. Yet I have reserved 7,000 in Israel, all whose knees have not bowed to Baal. In other words, you are not alone. Please be seated now as you do join me in prayer. Father, thank you for Elijah. What a great man of God. And thank you that you included his story of failure in your word so that we could, A, learn from it, and B, be encouraged by it. Forgive us where we tend to deify the men and women of the Bible. Remind us that they are flesh and blood just as we are. And we have the same kind of potential for greatness and for loss that they did. Father, I pray that you'd preach through me now and set me free of every distraction, every hindrance, every obstacle. I present your truth. Silence me, O God, that you might be heard, and hide me, that you might be seen. And I do pray that the forces of darkness that hate us so might be bound from this place, bound from these people. Lord, we are yours, purchased by the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and the wicked one touches us not. So have your way. Move mightily among your people. If any does not know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, might this be the day of their salvation. But Father, might we all examine our own hearts, minds, and faith to be sure that we are hearing God's whisper and that we are heeding your instruction. Where that's not the case, Father, might today be the day of change forever. And for all that you do, we'll praise you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Why does God whisper? I think there are two primary reasons. There might be others, but I think two primary reasons. The first is to evaluate our focus. Evaluate our focus. Colossians chapter 3, verse 2 says, set your mind on things above, not on things below. We have the potential of controlling our mind. The word set is phroneo in the Greek language. It means to think on, to be mindful of, to interest oneself in. Human beings are unique within the animal kingdom. We may control our minds, but it's entirely up to us. Now, God gives us instruction to do so, and therefore we are accountable to Him as to how we respond. But He expects us to obey. And yet, think about what consumes our thought processes most of the time. Isn't it true that if you really evaluated all of our thoughts throughout the day, we spend much of our time thinking about our career, our vocation, our job. We spend much of our time thinking about our family. We spend much of our time thinking about our friends. We spend much of our time thinking about our finances. And we think much of our time thinking about our future. Those things probably, in the average American, consume 100% of their thought process. But all those things are distraction from what our focus should be. You see, because all those things are of this temporal world. Wait a minute, preacher, now. Wait a minute. Our families are not of this temporal world. Our families are gifts from God, and you're right, they are. But can I just go ahead and be honest with you for a few minutes while we're in church and say, the greatest thing we can do for our families is not give them everything they want. The greatest thing we can do for our families is not respond to their every whim. The greatest thing we can do for our families is not to spend all of our time with them. No, the greatest thing we can do for our families is be Jesus to them. Because if we invest our lives in them so fully that they don't see Jesus in us, and that's common in our community, then when they grow up, they're not going to have any interest in the things of God at that point in time. And we're going to rack our brains trying to figure out why. And the reason is we made them gods while we had them. And they think the world should do the same. No, the greatest thing we can do for our family is to be the love of Jesus Christ and point them to the cross of Calvary. Let them see the reality of God living and working in us, so that they can understand the priority that is ours, which is serving Jesus Christ. And they will receive that, and we can pass that on to them such that they too will follow in our footsteps and make Jesus Christ their focus for their lives. Let's just be honest and say, the other things we think about, our vocation, our job, our family, our friends, our finances, our future, are the things that most often cause us to lose our focus on Jesus. They're distractions. And those distractions that have our minds off of Jesus keep us from hearing the whisper of God. The truth of the matter is, as Christians, we are more than conquerors through Him who loved us. That's Jesus Christ, Romans 8:37. We have victory. Boy, I'm grateful for victory, aren't you? I like to win, don't you? I don't like to lose. I can be a good loser, but I don't want to get much practice at it. I'll just be honest with you. I trust that I'll respond the right way, but I'd rather win than lose every single time. My daughters will tell you that. My wife will tell you that. My middle daughter loves to play games. She makes you crazy wanting to play games. We go on vacation. We get here as a family. She says, let's play some games. Well, I don't like to play games. I'm going to make everybody mad because I'm going to do my best to win. I am not just a participant to go along and enjoy the fellowship. I'm in it to win it. I'm telling you. And so always I end up getting in the doghouse with Leela. She said, well, you take this way too seriously. I said, no, Erin's taking it too seriously. She's the one making us play. I'm just trying to win. Hey, if you're going to play, you might as well win. I like to be a winner. Isn't it tragic that we as Christians so often forfeit the victory Jesus died to give us? And we do because we lose our focus. 1 John 5:4, everyone born of God overcomes the world. You can stop right there. Everyone born of God, that's you and me, that's Christians, overcomes the world. And this is the victory that overcomes the world. He's telling you how to get it. Even our faith. Our faith is what allows us to live a victorious life. So if we aren't living in victory, if we're discouraged, depressed, and defeated, it's because our faith has failed. This is the victory that overcomes the world, even our faith. So if I'm not living in victory, my faith has failed. Whose fault is that? It's not God's fault. It's not even the devil's fault. It's my faith, and it's my responsibility to operate that faith so that it can grow. And I will do so as long as my focus is on things above. And the truth of the matter is I focus on things above. Guess what? God has a perfect plan for my family. And it's way better than the plan I'm going to come up with. God has a perfect plan for my friends and the fellowship we enjoy. God has a perfect plan for my career, my job, my vocation. God has a perfect plan for my future. God has a perfect plan for my finances. So as I seek Him, keep my mind set on things above, not things below, I'm going to do His bidding, which is going to be the perfect plan for my life after all. Well, preacher, it doesn't make sense to me. He didn't promise it'd make sense. He just promised it'd be the right thing to do. Everything God does to us and through us and for us is because He loves us. God never intends to hurt us. But we've got to trust Him enough to follow Him. And that is where the expression of our faith comes into play. But when we get distracted by the things of this world, we don't hear the whisper of God. It's much too quiet over the distractions of this temporal world. So God whispers to evaluate our focus. What are we focused on? And sadly, we often fail the test. And yet there are people here perhaps today who would say, preacher, I don't think I've ever heard the voice of God. And I want you to hear my heart. I'm not mad. I'm not upset. I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings. But if you've never heard the voice of God, that's a serious problem. That's a serious problem because Jesus said in John chapter 10, verse 27, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. My sheep hear my voice. It could be that though you're a good church person, though you're a good Grace Baptist church person, though you've been in church all your life, it could be that you don't know Jesus if you've never heard His voice. My suspicion is a great many people who have heard the voice of God did so the one time for salvation and acknowledged their sinfulness, their need for a Savior, that Jesus Christ is that Savior, and they submitted to His Lordship, and they embraced God's plan for their life, and they were filled with the Spirit of God and sealed with the Spirit of God, and then began to move forward without understanding that they're supposed to live by faith, and now they're all wrapped up in the circumstances of this world and no longer hear the voice of God. If that's the case, then I would tell you, you need to set your heart and mind on things above, not things below. How can I know that, preacher? How can I learn to hear the voice of God? By spending time with Him. I shared earlier, my dad's been in heaven now for 40 years, over 40 years. And I still today, Kyle, can hear him say, Bill! You say, how's it so fresh in your mind? I heard it a lot. I was a rebellious teenager. I did a lot of boneheaded things. And he would speak very kindly. Hey, Bill, I need you to... And I would just disregard that oftentimes. I would have very convenient hearing. And then all of a sudden he would say, Bill! And I would know at that point, life as I had known it to that point was over. And so if I was with my friends or I was on the phone or whatever, I'd say, listen, I've got to go now. You can't stay. You have to go. Why? Because it's going to be ugly here. We don't need witnesses. You just need to go away and I'll be all right. But I knew that tone of voice because I heard it so frequently. I'm grateful that I've heard the voice of God enough that it's pretty familiar to me. Not as stern, perhaps, though sometimes I think it has been, because I spent much of my Christian experience that same stubborn, headstrong, stiff-necked, just like the Jews guy I was with my dad. And so he oftentimes had to get my attention. But I'm grateful that we've moved past that for the most part, and I can now hear the whisper of God when he calls my name, when he speaks his truth to me, when he reveals his plan to me. And I desire that for every single one. Well, how can I do that, preacher? Spend time in the Word. God speaks through his Word. I'm amazed at how faithfully God speaks through his Word. I've shared on Wednesday night. I've shared before. I've recommitted. I'm going to read the Bible through again this year. I've did that for years and years. I quit for the last couple of years and just did some other devotional stuff. But I just really like reading through from Genesis to Revelation. I don't recommend that for you for the first time. If it's the first time reading your Bible, don't recommend it that way. I'll give you some other ideas. But if you've been a Christian like I have for a while, I'd encourage you doing that every single year. And I read the passage of Scripture now in the Pentateuch, those first five books of the Bible that sometimes can get you bogged down. But I'm just amazed at how frequently and faithfully God just speaks to my heart afresh and anew from his Word. God speaks through his Word. God speaks through prayer. And boy, if we'll just spend time in prayer, get all the clutter out of our lives, turn off our cell phone, turn off the TV, and turn off the radio, and get by ourselves just for a few minutes, just to be quiet, to hear the voice of God. God speaks through prayer. God speaks through his Holy Spirit, through conviction, through comfort. God speaks through his Spirit. God speaks through other people. Boy, I'm grateful for godly friends and godly church members that often speak truth into my life. And I hear the voice of God through you many times. Thank you. Continue to be faithful in that regard. And I am grateful that God speaks through our circumstances. But you see, I need to be careful to recognize and remember ways that God has spoken in the past. I need to remember what the voice of God sounds like. And most often, it sounds like something I don't want to hear. Most often, it's God calling me to do things that make no sense to me, to go places I don't want to go, to say things I don't want to say, to be something I don't want to be. Because God's plan is not my plan, and my plan is not God's plan. His plan is far better than mine and far above mine. So I've got to hear his voice and submit to his lordship and follow him wherever he might lead. Why? Because my sheep hear my voice, and they follow me. But you see, all that presupposes proper focus. Set my mind on things above, not things below. Don't be afraid. If you do that, God's not going to cause you to neglect your family. God's not going to cause you to neglect your friends. God's not going to cause you to neglect your work. God's not going to cause you to neglect your church. God's not going to cause you to do anything negligently. God's going to cause you to be the best you can be at all those things if we put our hearts and minds on him and focus intently upon him. And when that's the case, we'll experience victory in Jesus Christ. Elijah got his focus off the things above very quickly. It amazes me that the mighty man of God allowed wicked Jezebel. You don't find anything complimentary in the Scriptures about Jezebel. And if somebody comes to you and says, I just sense the spirit of Jezebel about you, they are not complimenting you. That is not something you want them to say about you. Jezebel is wicked. Wicked. And Elijah knew he served God. He knew God sent him for that purpose, and he'd been completely victorious. And then old Jezebel said, I'm going to kill you. And he tucks tail and runs and hides in a cave. For heaven's sakes, he lost his focus. It can happen to the best of us. It can happen to the least of us. Jezebel wasn't any reason for Elijah to fear. But everything becomes frightening when our focus isn't on the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got to be focused so that when God whispers, we hear His voice. So God whispers to evaluate our focus, but He also whispers to evoke our faith. In Romans chapter 14, the Bible says, whatever is not of faith is sin. I could just preach for a long time about that. And the truth of the matter is I could just end the service right now and we could digest that for months. Whatever is not of faith is sin. I spoke about that this past Wednesday night. And I talk about my own personal conviction about the number of things I do in a given day out of habit, Jerry, just because that's what I always do. Well, is faith involved in that? Probably not. You see, faith is recognizing that God has a plan for my life every minute of every hour of every day. So I need to be finding God's plan and doing that. Now, certainly it involves me preparing for sermons and trying to oversee the ministry of Grace Baptist Church and trying to be involved in the community. You know, all those things are important, but I need to do those at the leading of God's Holy Spirit by faith. Not just what I think is the right thing to do. Need to follow God's lead. And you can only do that by faith. That's exactly what it's saying. And whatever is not of faith, though it might be good works, might impress people, whatever is not of faith is sin. But can I just get your concurrence that when we hear the booming voice of God, it doesn't take much faith to respond? I'm reminded of the story of Saul's conversion, the Apostle Paul, Acts chapter 9, verse 3. As he neared Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice say, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? The voice of God. Now, he is stricken at that point blind. He's knocked off his feet. He's there in a completely helpless and vulnerable condition. That's the force of the power of the voice of God and the presence of God. But notice what else about that story in verse 7. The men traveling with Saul stood there speechless. They heard the sound but didn't see anyone. Would you agree with me that when God speaks so loudly to us that others hear it, it doesn't take faith to respond. It takes a fool not to respond. I mean, come on. If God speaks to me in this service audibly and you hear it, I'm probably not going to have many of you all watching your watches the rest of the service. You're going to say, ooh, that was the voice of God. We better be careful. We better be focused on God. I suspect he said that audibly because he wanted our attention too, and he's got it. These men said, hey, we heard that. Now, if Saul had just gotten up and said, don't pay no attention to that, those people said, you are crazy. You better do what he said to do. He'll kill us all. That didn't take faith. They'd heard the voice of God. And of course, they then led Saul into town where God's plan and purpose for him was fulfilled. And he became the most powerful Christian to ever live and wrote most of the New Testament for us. And I'm grateful to God for that. His life touches and encourages me almost every single day. But God had such a divine plan for him that he wanted that call to be that well confirmed. Most times that's not the case. Most times it's a whisper. Nobody else hears. Nobody else sees. Nobody else knows. God speaks with a whisper because he wants to evaluate our focus and he wants to evoke our faith. When he speaks with a whisper, he wants us to so trust him that we obey. And you see, that is the acid test of our faith. You can say all you want to say about your faith, but you're living out all the faith you got right now. Right now. No exception to that truth. We're living out all the faith we have right now. The sad thing is, a great many of us don't want to hear the voice of God. Which is why we stay distracted by the things of this world. Because we're afraid if we hear and we don't heed, now we're going to forfeit our fellowship with God because that's rebellion and that's sin. And so we'd rather just stay busy. And I know people, and of course nobody at Grace Baptist Church is that way. But I know Christians that are just busier than you can imagine doing God things. And I wonder what it is they're trying to avoid hearing. Because God's not called us to be consumed every minute of every hour of every day with church work. God's got a plan for us outside the church. God's got a plan for us in our workplace, in our home, in our school, wherever we might be. But we hide from those responsibilities a great many times by doing more and more and more and more at the church. Are we willing to hear the whisper of God? Because you see, what really expresses our willingness to hear is our willingness to heed when we've heard. God's not going to call you to do something you won't do. But when God does call, He expects it to be done. Because He expects us to live our lives in submission to His Lordship. And that requires faith. But hey, according to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Think about that. I know people that God has called into vocational ministry. I know a guy, I would consider him a friend today. He considered me a friend today. And God has called him into the ministry. He was a pastor of a church. He used to call to be a pastor. He just said, I just can't do that. I got a good job. I got good income. I got good security. My family's taken care of. I just can't do it. This fellow, bless his heart, he has busied himself with everything you can do at church. I mean, he serves as deacon, finance committee, teaches Sunday school, all these kind of things, trying to soothe his conscience because he won't do what God called him to do. Isn't it tragic that when he gets to heaven, he's not going to hear God say, well done, good and faithful servant, for doing all that teaching and all that deaconing and all that finance committee and all that stuff, because that was his defense mechanism. That was his hiding place. He's not going to experience rewards for his service because it was not in faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Think about that. Without faith, it's impossible. Look that word up in the Hebrew language. It means impossible. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. And faith is following Jesus, however He leads us. So you see, we have to evaluate everything we do according to our faith. Is God calling me to do this? Does God want me to go there? Does God want me to lead that group? Does God want me to have that responsibility? Whatever God wants me to do, that's what I want to do. That's living by faith. But God's going to speak those things with a whisper to evoke our faith. To evoke is to draw out. He's drawing out of faith. You see, faith is like muscle. God gives to all of us a measure of faith. But if we don't act on that faith, like muscle, atrophies and begins to go away. But as we act on it in obedience to God, the faith grows, like muscle, gets stronger, which allows us a greater potential to bless the heart of God, which allows us greater potential to impact our world. So we operate in faith and God blesses that and gives us more faith. And we operate in faith and God blesses and gives us more faith. And we have a spiral heavenward such that God's glorified in all we say and do. Why? Because of our obedience to God's still small voice. But I got to be focused on Him to hear. And then I've got to have the faith to heed. And here I stand before a group of people this morning. I don't know how many are here. It doesn't matter. You're here, and that matters. And I dare say God has spoken to somebody today for the very first time. And a group this size, probably somebody needs to be saved. Oh, you might have heard the voice of God before, or perhaps this is the first time. And you say, I want to be saved. I intend to be saved, but not today because I'm young and I've got other things I want to do and I got some other interests that God wouldn't be pleased with. So as soon as I get all that stuff resolved, then I'm going to get saved. Please hear me when I say, there is no guarantee you'll ever hear the whisper of God again. If God spoke today, you better respond because this could be your last time. You say, Preet, I don't think so. I got news for you. When I got saved, it was my last time. How do you know? The Spirit of God hit me like a ton of bricks. Sitting in the back row of a Baptist church not very far from here. And when we began to gather up our stuff because the organist made her way to the organ to play the invitational hymn, I said to Leah, I'm not leaving. I'm going to be saved because the Spirit of God said, this is your last chance. He had dealt with me probably 1,000 times, Jerry. And every time I said, no, 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 leave me alone. He said, today's the last chance. last chance. And I said, I'm not going to hell. I'm going to be saved. Do you want to go? She said, yes. And our lives have been changed dramatically ever since because I heard the whisper of God. It wasn't a booming voice. Nobody else in that church heard it. But I knew God spoke to my heart with a definition that could not be mistaken. And if God has spoken to you today, today is the day of your salvation. You better trust Him enough to obey Him. You better come. Just acknowledge that you're a sinner. You need a Savior. Jesus Christ is that Savior. And He's so deep, He loves you. He died for your sin. He didn't commit it Himself. He died for your sin. And then to prove He's God, He conquered death. And He rose from the grave. He's alive forevermore and calls out to whosoever will come unto Me. But the vast majority of people here are saved as this preacher. And yet a great many people here today have heard the voice of God about your own Christian walk. And maybe been unwilling to respond. Maybe God's calling you to do something you don't want to do. Go somewhere you don't want to go. Serve some way you don't want to serve. Call you to do something you don't think you can afford. Call you to do something you don't think you've got time for. And you just said, no, that's not God. I'm not going to accept that as a God. You better be careful. When you hear the voice of God, at that point we're responsible to heed the voice of God. And to do anything else is sin, which quenches the Spirit of God and disrupts our fellowship with God and forces the chastening of God. It could be that somebody right here today hears the voice of God for vocational ministry or for missions or to teach Sunday school or to sing in the choir or to play in the band or to serve in the nursery. Bless your heart. Or to be a greeter or to be an usher or any number of other opportunities for ministry and service at Grace Baptist Church. I'm going to tell you, God's calling you because He loves you and has a great plan and purpose for your life, and you need simply trust Him. And if that's hard for you, you better evaluate your own focus. Is it on things below or things above? Are the things of this temporal world distracting you to the place that you can't or won't follow Jesus? If so, boy, girl, man, woman, that needs to change today because God's a jealous God. He'll have no other God before Him. And I've seen God remove little g gods from people's lives before. And God forbid that have to happen. But it will unless we trust Him. He's evoking our faith. And faith is a moment-by-moment process because we trust in God. How will you choose? Let's pray. Father God, thank You for Your precious Word and for the examples of men like Elijah, just as human as we are, who faltered in his faith just as we do, and yet still was used mightily of God to accomplish an eternal purpose. Father, help us to make sure our focus is heavenward. Help us, Lord, to objectively evaluate that faith continually and make sure our heart is set on things above, not things below, so that others around us see Jesus living in us. Lord, might that produce greater faith, that we might fully follow You, even when we don't understand, we don't want to, don't have time, can't afford it, we would follow Jesus wherever You might lead us, knowing that You do all things well, You don't make any mistakes, and You have a perfect plan for our life. Father, I pray for one today doesn't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. Might something have been said or done that this would be the day of their salvation, that they have heard the still small voice of God, and they will today heed. And I pray that the devil himself could not keep them back. Father, I pray for the vast majority here today, living by faith, and yet, Lord, perhaps not fully focused on You, not always hearing that still small voice. Lord, help us today to evaluate our focus and to put it on things above, not things below, that we might live by faith in such a way that You might be blessed and glorified. Have Your way in all that's said and done. If all that You do, we'll praise You and thank You. In Jesus' name, amen.